Well, that's our prayer, Lord. Thank you that you're here with us. Thank you that you're always here with us. I pray now for an increased understanding and measure of an awareness of your presence. We prayed that in one of our songs already. I pray that even now during this time that you would help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, hello. I'm Di Endicott, Pastor Di. I'm actually one of the staff pastors at Newburgh, Northside Community Church in Newburgh. And I was here a few weeks ago. If you weren't, I was. And so very delighted to be back with you today. It's interesting. We have been on a teaching team for Northside, and we have been planning out the months to the end of the year what we're going to say. When you have a teaching team, you have to be really, really organized. And so we had planned out what we're going to say to the end of the year, and next week I'm speaking at Northside, and it was my turn. The series is Kingdom Practices, and the topic that I'm to preach on next week is Embracing Grief and Loss. This was settled 4 months ago. So I remember when I saw it on the schedule thinking, I don't want to talk about that. Who wants to talk about that? I don't want to talk about it, let alone embrace it. I mean, who in the right mind wants to do that? But as we have walked through things together in these last weeks, I'm understanding now how God said, oh, they're gonna want to talk about this. And certainly I do. So I've been praying. And as I've been praying, a particular and very interesting passage came to my mind to share with you today. And so I'll be sharing this passage with you. You wouldn't normally associate with the topic of embracing grief and loss as a kingdom practice. You would not associate this particular passage with that at all. But God does, and God is, and I believe he'll show us what he's talking about with this passage as we walk through together here in a few minutes. But right off the bat, I'm going to tell you, this is only two parts of this sermon. Two simple parts. In fact, I noticed someone titled the sermon this. I really like that. Thank you. And that is God's part and my part. It was so important, we decided we'd put it on a slide for you. There's God's part and my part. Now, I understand that's intuitive. I mean, that's, you're like, there's nothing new here. No, that's true. But I don't know about you. But I often get those confused, and maybe you do too. I remember one time thinking, God, if you just exercise for me, I'll run the universe. I'll take care of everything. And it wasn't a good bargain at all. And no, he won't do that. So I get, that's a little extreme. But there's times when I forget, who's doing what here? Whose part is what? What is God saying he'll do, and what am I to do? Especially in a journey that's fraught with danger, it feels like anyway, or extremes of feeling, yeah? So, we're going to explore that together. I think I need to pray one more time, though, if you don't mind. You're like, okay, sure. So now we're looking to you, Holy Spirit, you're our teacher, and we're looking to you to make sense of your word to us today. We're looking to you to speak to us, to stir us, to bring to life your words. You always point to Jesus. You always remind us of Jesus. So we're asking for that today. We thank you that we can trust you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I thought I'd start with a story. We went, some friends and I, to Africa in June. A couple of us went to, you're like, how does this have to do with anything? Trust me, we'll get there. We went to Zambia first and did some work there, and then I joined a few others and we went to Rwanda. You might remember Rwanda has been through a genocide 24 years ago where one tribe rose up and tried to eradicate the other. In 100 days, almost 1 million people were slaughtered. In 100 days. It swept the nation. It took 100 days to stop it. It did stop. Now, it's interesting, 24 years later, you would think they've just come around and everything's fine. Not in grief years, right? In grief years, that's not that long ago. And so, and even as a nation, they have to figure out what to do because of the divide and the absolute chaos of this genocide, let alone the unspeakable, horrific tragedy stories. So we met with survivors, we talked with them, we prayed with them, and we went to a place called, let me get the name right, Nyamata. It's in Kigali. It's a church. Traditionally, because there had been uprisings and issues in that country before, traditionally, they could run to church. And in church, they would find sanctuary and safety. And it was understood that if you got yourself and your family to a church, you were safe. No one would harm you there, except during this genocide. The 10,000 people crammed into this church building for safety during the genocide. And the church leaders betrayed them to the murderers and unlocked the doors. And they were killed, every single one, man, woman, and child, in this church building by either shooting or machete. As we walked in, they left the bullet holes through the entrance, and because they wanted you to know, this is the grenade that went off that opened the locked door. And so they walked in and they killed them all. As you walk in now, today, there are piles of clothing. They decided they would save the clothes. And then the bones of all these people were saved also and put into a mausoleum in the basement area. And then people in the whole region who didn't know how to bury or who these people were or what to do with these bones added those bones, and there are now, they say, 50,000 bones in this memorial. And they're stacked lovingly and respectfully. And they ask people, no pictures, otherwise I'd show you, no pictures. They ask that you be respectful and honoring. So we as a team were stunned, of course. And we went and respectfully heard the story. We visited, we prayed. And then we did something interesting. We took a vial of water, just like this one. This is water from my well at my house in Newburgh. And someone had told me before the trip, bring water from Oregon, not the city water, water from the ground, and bring it to bless Rwanda in friendship and love, as a symbol of our friendship and love. I'm like, okay, I can do that. So I had these little vials. TSA was like, what's that? Water, I promise. So we went to this memorial and we opened it up and we poured just a little bit of water on the ground. Just a little bit. It didn't have to be much. It's all symbolic. And we just prayed a little prayer for them. And the prayer was this. It was a song by Laura Daigle called Come Alive. And the chorus goes like this. We cry out to dry bones to come alive, come alive. We cry out to dead hearts to come alive. And may it be that from these ashes an army will arise. We cry out to dry bones, come alive. So the prayer was for the nation of Rwanda that in this memorial site, God would, because the next part of that song is, breathe, oh breath of life, breathe, oh breath of life. So we prayed that over them, and the people who were from Rwanda who were with us said there was a stirring in their soul. Now, what is that song talking about? Because that's a very strange phraseology. It's from a passage that I think God's going to have us look at this morning together, and that's Ezekiel 37. I'm going to read part of it out of the message for you, and then we'll have a little bit on the slide for you, and then I'll read, and we're going to go back and forth with it. Okay? Sound good? It'll make sense when we put it together with the scripture. Here's the historical background. The nation of Israel is in exile. They've been through a lot. They've been moved from place to place. They have been reaping the unfortunate consequences of not following the Lord. And then those who did follow the Lord are still reaping the consequences of other people's decisions. Anybody relate to this? There have been sadness and sorrows compiled upon one after another, and that's the state of being. And Ezekiel has a vision. Ezekiel 37 says, God grabbed me. God's spirit took me up and set me down in the middle of an open plain strewn with bones. He led me around and among them, a lot of bones. There were bones all over, dry bones, bleached by the sun. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Master God, only you can know that. And God said, prophesy over these bones. Dry bones, listen to the message of God. This one will be on the slide for you. God, the master, told the dry bones, watch this. I'm bringing the breath of life to you and you will come to life. I'll attach sinews to you, meat to your bones, cover you with skin and breathe life into you. You'll come alive and you realize that I am God. Oh, that's where she got that song. That's where she got that song. Now, we already talked about there's God's part and my part in the journey of embracing grief. And in fact, any journey on earth, there's God's part and my part. Whether you are in a sorrowful place or not, whether you are just in a joyous place or not, there's always God's part and your part. Always. So in this passage, what's God's part? What did he just say? Yeah, well, you can shout it out. He's going to breathe on them. Breathe, and that'll bring life. Life. So who brings life? God brings life. Does it say anything about Ezekiel manufacturing life of any kind? No. Bones are dead. Bones are dead. He cannot bring them to life. So right away, God's part is very clear. You're like, Di, I know this. I know. I know you know this. But it's important we set it up here. God's part is to what? Breathe life. Breathe life. It can only come from God. It can only come from God. You can try. He could have took super glue and tried his best to put those bones together. There's going to be no life. Just a mess. Anybody ever try to put something back together on your own and it's a mess? I have. I'll tell that story in a little bit. Let's continue, though, with the scripture. I prophesied just as I'd been commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, an old rustling, and the bones moved and came together, bone to bone. I kept watching. Sinews formed, and then muscles on the bones, and then skin stretched over them, but they had no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Tell the breath, God the Master says, come from the four winds. Come and breathe. Breathe on these slain bodies. Breathe life. So I prophesied, just as he commanded me. And the breath entered them, and they came alive, and they stood on their feet, a huge army. Then God said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. He's explaining what this vision is describing. This is the house of Israel. Listen to what they are saying. Our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. There's nothing left of us. That's the scenario in which this vision comes. Our hope is gone. We got nothing. Anybody ever feel like that? Yeah. But here's the good news, again on the slide for you. Therefore, prophesy and tell them, God the Master says, I'll dig up your graves and bring you out alive, my people. Then I'll take you straight to the land of Israel. And when I dig up graves and bring you out as my people, you will realize that I am God. I'll breathe my life into you and you'll live. Then I'll lead you straight back to your land and you'll realize that I am God. I've said it and I'll do it. God's decree. Okay, let's clarify now. So who brings life? Is God prophesying though to the bones? Who's doing that? Ezekiel. Ezekiel had a part. He had a part. So God is the one who brings a life. But then he says to Ezekiel, speak. Now, prophesy biblically simply means speaking God's words. That's all it means. Yes, sometimes there's foretelling in prophecy, but truly the biblical definition is when you speak God's words, you're prophesying. So he's just speaking what God says to speak. So simply put, it's this. God's part brings life, breathes, activates, puts together in miraculous ways. And I could go on and on here. That's God's part. Our part, do what he says. Do what he says. Do what he says. I know that's like, well, that's not news. No, but it's not easy, is it? Especially if you've been in some kind of a chaotic situation especially when it's been hard. It's like, I don't know what he wants me to do. I can't even hear what he says. How am I supposed to do what he says? I have absolutely no idea. Well, I have two very practical suggestions for you, because I notice we're pragmatic here, and I love that. Two very practical suggestions on what doing our part might look like. Just two. And the first one is show up. Show up. Here's what I mean by that. Be present. And this might sound strange, but be present to yourself. And by that I mean this. Pay attention to what's going on inside of you. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just don't want to. So I get busy, and I'll do anything else but deal with what God is saying to deal with. In fact, very recently I was at a training seminar, and it was so good. It was transformational prayer ministry, Pastor Marla Sweeney. Oh my goodness, it's so refreshing. It's how prayer can be used in transformational ways. And I was in this training, and in the middle of it, just in the middle of it, I had this clear insight. I don't know if this ever happens to you. It's like, boom, just very clear. And this was the insight. Di, you are managing your emotions, not feeling and dealing with them. I'm like, nah. I'm fine. But I couldn't deny it. Saying I was managing by doing all kinds of other things. I didn't want to feel it, so I was doing all kinds of other things. I was trying to manage them. Didn't work so well. It sounds right, but it's not the healing way. So when I finally said, okay, I had to make room to feel it. I didn't want to, but I made room and time to feel it. Then God can deal with it. And I brought it to the Lord. Peace came then. I have to say, peace just came and flooded my soul. It's like, oh, well, that's what I've been missing. I don't know about you, but it's sometimes when I'm in a thing, I'd rather just stay busy and keep moving and not deal with it. I don't recommend it. I call it the beach ball underwater syndrome. I might have mentioned it before. Well, you can hold that beach ball underwater, but eventually it's going to pop out, but not where you want it to, right? Beach ball, they just go any old where. Sometimes it comes out, oh no, where'd that come from? Well, you've been holding it underwater. It's going to come out. Why not let it come? Feel it so you and God can deal with it. That's part of showing up. The other part of showing up is being present to God. It was interesting. Sometimes we think to show up, we have to have something, some kind of wisdom, or I got to have something. No, you don't. It was interesting when I was in Guatemala about a year after our son Jeremy died. And a year is not a lot of time. But God sent me to Guatemala on a medical dental missions trip. And we traveled down this very scary hairpin turn road, single lane, down a mountain to get to this village. And they had to honk the horn on the turns. It was so scary. I'm like, don't look out the window. Just don't look. Doo-doo-doo. Jesus loves me. It was terrifying. When we got almost down to the bottom, I noticed at the bottom there was a very horrifically squished bus. It had fallen off the mountain just a few months previous. So when we arrived and we were ministering in this church, Dr. Tito, our contact in Guatemala, said to me, well, actually he said it to the group, is there anyone who will pray with the pastor? He lost his wife and son on that bus. Is there anyone? He looked right at me. Is there anyone? Has God ever done that to you? The question might be for others, but you feel his gaze. Yeah. So I said, oh, well, okay, I'll pray. And then a friend who had lost a brother recently also came, and we went to the pastor's office. I don't speak Spanish. He doesn't speak English. Dr. Tito really valiantly tried to interpret for a while, but eventually we ended up on our knees on the floor, just together on the floor, in tears, crying together, and crying out to God together. And it didn't matter that we didn't speak English or Spanish. It did not matter. The spirit, the breath of God came into that room. Dr. Tito quit trying to interpret. It didn't matter. We just sat there on the floor together and experienced the presence of God together. It was a powerful moment, and I never forgot it. And neither did he. Apparently, that day had just found out, And while it was a particularly hard day, he had just found out that his wife had not died instantly like he thought she had. She actually had suffered quite a while before she died. And that was just so disturbing to him. He didn't know what to do. So what does God do? He sends someone who doesn't even speak his language, but who's willing to show up and just be there in the presence of God. Oh, that's what I mean by showing up. Just being willing to be there in the presence of God, to yourself and to other people. Just willing to be there. Willing to be there. Willing to allow God to breathe in you and then through you. In you and then through you. Oh, it can be done. I saw it. Sure enough, a little later in the week, in that same village, we were going to go, I think it was to lunch, I don't even remember, but we had to walk through a narrow alleyway lined up with patients waiting their turn. They're very patient, these patients, because they had to wait. And so we're lined up, we're walking through them, and somehow word spread, it's just a little village, somehow word spread that we had prayed with the pastor, and sure enough, I was stopped every few feet by a mom. I could tell it was a mom, because she'd go, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, lo siento, no español. That's all I got. That's all. Other than baños. That's all I got. I don't have anything else. Agua, maybe. So I'm standing there. Blah, 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 blah. I'm saying, oh, lo siento, no español. So they're, oh, and then they do this. They point to their heart and my heart, and they do like this. I lost a child too. Our hearts are together. Tears, tears, hugs. Tears and hugs. I didn't get very far. Here comes another mom. Same thing. Heart to heart. I'm saying, lo siento, no español. Doesn't matter. We just pointed to the heart, pointed to her arms. I hugged her. She hugged me. It was powerful. Showing up doesn't mean you necessarily have to use words. In fact, I don't recommend it. I've said the wrong thing so many times, I can't even tell you. But I can show up. We can show up. Show up for each other. Show up to yourself. Be present with what God is trying to get through to you. And then show up for each other. This means just simply paying attention. And when God says, would you go? Go. Because that's the second piece. Show up. Step up. Step up. You see, Ezekiel was also with these people. He was struggling. They were exiled. They have been through something. They had been through something. They had to move their church to a school. Wait, no, that's another story. They've lost people they love. That is our story. They've been through something. And yet, when God said to Ezekiel, he gave him a vision. He said, will you prophesy? And we see in verses 7 and 10, so I prophesied. I did what he asked. Can you imagine in this vision how foolish he feels? Okay, dry bones. Okay, wind. Can you imagine? I mean, it sounds all spiritual when you read the story. Well, think about it for a second and put yourself in Ezekiel's shoes. I'm to what? I'm to speak to what? I'm to do what? Think about it for a second. But he did it. He stepped up. He stepped up. And I would like to suggest to you the reason why God is bringing this to our attention today is so we'll show up. Because he is ready, willing, and able to breathe. I believe he's already doing that, breathing on you, breathing life to you. And you're like, I don't feel it yet. Give it a minute. Do you want to? When you open your soul and say, I'll take more of that. I'll take more of that. I'll take more of you, Holy Spirit. I'll get out of the way. I will take more of you. I had that experience when I was a younger pastor, younger, never mind how old I was. And I was just so hungry for more of God. I didn't care what it looked like. I'll do it. I don't care what gift you decide to give me. I'll take it. I'll take everything you've got, God. And he did. He did. He's willing and able to breathe into you. Whatever you need. Whatever you need. More than you think. Overflowing. So that it won't just affect you. It'll help you step up and affect this whole area. God is envisioning new vision. Breathing life to you. I very deliberately poured this water out this morning to bless you. And if God can bless and stir a nation that tried to kill each other, can he bless and stir a band, a mighty band of people who just want to do what God says to do, for this, for each other and for this area. Can he do that? Oh, I think he can. And I think that's why he's giving me this message for you today. So we can respond to that. We can respond to that. See, his part, he's the giver of life. He is the one who sends the Spirit. He says, if you're my follower, you have the Holy Spirit, but there's always more. There's always more of a filling. That's why it says, keep on being filled with the Spirit. There's always more. There's always more. Did I say that already? There's always more. And he's so willing, so generous to give us more of the Spirit. Activate things we didn't even know were in us that he wants to use. So there's the Holy Spirit breathing life into us. When we were praying over here in the pre-service prayer time, I just had this visual picture because, you know, I'm a visual thinker, so God will use that with me. If you're not, don't worry. He'll use a different way with you. That's how he is. He understands how he wired you, so he uses how he wired you. I'm a visual thinker, so I'll get pictures. And I saw this huge industrial-sized fan in the room with us and an angel turning it on. And I knew what he meant. It's the wind of God, the breath of God stirring among us. So that we'll be willing to say, okay. And here's what I'm thinking as I saw this beautiful vision and mission plan that you have and the hopes and dreams you have for the next few months. And your kindness already to Pastor Carlene. Already you've been so kind, patient, and loving. You have. The kindness and the fact that you're just going to, we're going to do what God says. You are stepping up. You are showing up. Now I think what he's saying is, will you go to the next level? Will you go to the next level with God? And my question for you about that is, on the card that you fill out, would you put the words, I will, if that's in your heart to do so? Oh, I will. I will show up and I will step up. God's part is to bring the life, the Holy Spirit, the energy, the gifting, the encouragement. He'll even stir you, remind you, prompt you, move you. He does all the heavy lifting. He does all the hard work. He's just saying, okay, now is there anyone here who's willing? Is there anyone? And then my part is, do what he says. Do what he says. When he says, oh, just show up. Don't worry about speaking. I'll tell you what to say when you get there. Okay, I can do that. He might say, bring a bottle of water. When you go to Africa, what kind of weird is that? Okay, I'll bring a bottle of water. He also said, bring little vials of oil. I'm like, well, why would I bring oil? So we were doing a pastor's training, and I thought, oh, maybe we're going to anoint the pastors. Well, not only were we anointing them, we're giving them the little vials of oil. So suddenly I needed 50 bottles of oil if I'm going to. So what happens is God gives me 50. I said yes, and then God gives me 50 bottles. Actually, it was like, I think it was 87. Gave them all away. I have a couple, though, that I'll leave here with you. So why? Because he said so. So it was so cool. So we anointed people, and then they were so excited to receive this oil. It's just oil. This is just a vision. This is just water. But it's symbolic, you see. God loves to speak in symbols. It's symbolic. So the question before you, will you show up and will you step up? It's going to look a little different for each one of us. For some of us, showing up is going to look a little different. He's going to ask you to show up somewhere and do something and step up to it. Because you have, but now we're in another season. He wouldn't have me speaking this if there wasn't something coming for you, personally and corporately. It's a new season for a new vision and for you personally. So as the worship team comes back up, I want to be sensitive to our time. And as we kind of get into the responding time that I notice is always worked in a lovely way to the agenda on Sunday morning, if you're willing to step up because you're going to show up, you can just write the words, I will. Or you can turn to someone you trust and you can use your words to say it. You can do it at the cross. You can do it right where you're sitting. Well, however, God knows. So that's the big deal, right? That's the big deal. There's no faking it with God. He only deals in reality. So if it's not in you, it's not in you. It's okay. give it time. But it might be in you now. So you can show up and step up to what he's providing for us. So I'll pray and then we'll continue. God, thank you. Thank you that you're breathing life right now. This is what you do. You love to keep breathing life into us. It's in your heart to do it. You love to bring the stirring that comes when your spirit is moving among us. And all of a sudden we see things, oops, I need to take care of that. And then you say, yes, you do. I'll help you. I'll help you. Because you're so redemptive. You show us the redeeming path. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you that some of us are so ready. We are so ready. When we say, I will, we'll keep our eyes open, God. We'll trust that you'll stir us, prompt us, move us, help us. This is what you do. We trust you. We know it's in your heart. That new vision is all that you intend it to be. We know, Father God, that this is in your heart, and so we will follow your heart. Oh, show us. Show us how to show up and step up. Show us what it is corporately. Give us the courage to be honest with you and with each other for these new days. And I bless my friends in Jesus' name. Amen.